Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life. And welcome back to Idle Red Hands. I'm Chris.
I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle.
I'm going to be really loud. It's really close to the mic there.
Yeah, you are. Well, usually you're really quiet, so you balance out.
There we go, exactly. So how's your mom?
Oh, not bad.
That was actually a real question. I was like, hey, how's your mom?
Yeah. Oh, how's your mom?
How's your mama?
She was fine last time I saw her.
She's not returning my calls. she's good. My mom's down visiting Japan. So I introduced her to the Japanese experience playing Elfenland. Yeah. She thought it was all right.
Yeah. Cool.
It's better with more than two players, though.
Yeah, I didn't know you had played it with only two players. I can imagine it would
probably
be all that
also
great
better
too.
When one of them's like an unenthusiastic mom.
Oh, that's nice, dear.
Oh, I gotta play this game. All
is right, it a first time to Japan?
No.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I haven't done anything for 2 weeks. I've been working on the catalog at work. So the only thing I had time to do was watch Transformers 3, and I kind of regret it.
Want that time back, don't you?
Yeah. It wasn't as good as 2.
Because it didn't have Megan Fox.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
I tend not to watch the third in the series if people are giving it bad reviews, but sometimes I'll watch the second. Like, yeah. I didn't see Spider-Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard that was pretty bad.
Yeah, I actually kind of enjoyed Spider-Man 3, but I'm in a very far minority on that. Mm-hmm. But I did like the first Transformers, actually. It wasn't, for what it was, an action nostalgia kind of movie.
The first one was good. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie. I wouldn't say it's a good Transformers movie, but...
Yeah. But, I mean, it had Peter Cullen in it. That's just awesome. He has a great voice. The voice of Optimus Prime.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I was just thinking, like, okay, so the Autobots transform, but... Well, I guess some of the Decepticons transformed.
No, they all did.
No, I mean, what did Megatron transform into?
Into the new F-35 jet.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe just forgetting stuff. I just remember seeing some of them and being like, what does that transform into?
Yeah, there's one that was a tank. Starscream was another kind of jet. Maybe he was the F-35.
I don't remember that cat thing.
I remember there was a joke about Soundwave.
Oh, yeah. Did he transform it? He was in the third one.
But they were joking because there's no more cassette.
Oh, yeah.
Thing, so... You know, he was out of work.
Yeah.
I guess he could have been like an...
I have nothing to do.
Wouldn't he update himself? An iPod. Like an MP3 player?
Well, the second one had that little...
There was a stereo guy, yeah?
That little stereo in the second one. So what was he in the third one?
Who, Soundwave?
Yeah.
I don't remember. In fact, he might not have transformed. He had to have, but sorry, I don't remember. Like he...
I just talked like this.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be Soundwave.
Actually, I think in the third one, I think he didn't talk at all. I think he just made sound.
And Soundwave.
Yeah. But he was in... They had, like, all of these monstrous ones.
I thought he was going to be mute.
They transformed into what? Other monstrous forms?
The Decepticons have irony.
Well, I'm sure you saw in the preview, like, there are big tentacles, like, chewing through buildings and stuff. Soundwave controlled those things.
Through sound.
I maybe.
Otherwise, he had no purpose.
Well, it would have to be through sound.
I get
it. You would think. You would,
that would make sense. But...
I'm not putting it past Michael Bay to actually make that connection.
Through explosions.
Yeah.
Probably.
What about the Megan Fox replacement?
She's hot.
Rose Hundley?
Very, very, very hot.
In comparison to Megan Fox?
Oh, that's... I think it's a matter of taste. But
It's a matter of taste. So.
Exactly. She's a 10 if you like that style, and Megan Fox is a 10
if you
like
Megan
that
Fox.
Style.
You were expecting a different answer from him?
Do you like the lighter variety or the darker variety?
Oh, so it's like blonde versus brunette.
Pretty much.
Okay.
What did you want? Nah, she's horrible. Don't know why they put her in a movie.
You could say one is better than the other.
Well, personally, I'd say the Transformers 3 girl. What was her name?
Rose Huntley something.
Okay.
It's a hyphenated name.
In other words, I should be all over it, right?
No, I just hyphenated names are tough to remember, you know, because you don't know which one goes first.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was eh. Mm.
People shouldn't give their kids hyphenated names. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
No, I was thinking about somebody else. Maybe an actor, and you just can't really remember past, because then you end up going, Rose Huntley, whatever. or maybe whatever Huntley.
No, you just say the Megan Fox replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure she should probably prefer Huntley whatever than Megan Fox replacement.
All right. My apologies.
She's a Victoria's Secret model.
I can see why.
Was she used as eye candy in this one?
Yeah.
Oh, so they really changed the role from Mega Fox.
That is the female role in Transformers.
Mm. Not to transform.
No,
transform
not really.
From university student to lingerie model. All right, awesome.
Well, that's right. In the second one, they had like that.
Did she transform into like a scientist?
They transform. Glasses on. Who is that? I don't know. Yeah. Glasses on. Whoa! Transform into a hottie. Isn't that how it always works?
You cleaned up well. Yeah, I hate these high heels that I'm walking in perfectly.
Yeah. But they had that in the second one. They had like the one university student who was an evil transformer.
Hmm?
Don't you remember that?
Yep.
In the second movie? She had that big metal tongue that came out. And...
Yeah, I remember that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Who was she?
She was the other not Megan Fox.
Metal tongue.
What were you going to say? Transformers? Sorry, I thought you were making a point.
No, I wasn't making a point. I was making a joke about how, you know, the glasses transform. Yeah. You know.
You had to look like you were trying to remember her name or her.
I was going to say that does actually kind of relate somewhat to what we're going to talk about.
Well, I was actually going to do that.
All right. Sorry.
Well, go ahead, Wayne. What are we talking about today?
We were actually talking about, what, 80s cartoons?
No.
Or just... No, okay. Fine. Maybe I'll go back to you. So what? You just transformed me into an idiot. All right. So what are we talking about if we're not talking about 80s cartoons?
The original idea was Saturday morning cartoons. But we realized that some of the cartoons that we're going to be talking about didn't air on Saturday morning. Right. So we're talking about children's
80s,
cartoons.
Yeah. Or in the
80s,
okay.
Or in the 80s, yeah.
So we're talking about...
Children's cartoons.
Oh, children's cartoons.
Which even though people enjoy them now, or adults enjoy them now or back then, they are intended for children.
Oh, yeah. And that's pretty obvious when we looked at some of the themes therein.
Yeah. So we're talking about cartoons such as He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, G.I. Joe, Transformers.
Thundercats.
Muppet Babies.
DuckTales.
Yep. DuckTales.
Thank you for going through the list quickly. It kept me from the temptation of giving like a throw out line for each one. He-Man, Power of Grayskull, and all that stuff.
Thanks for stopping the list. Yeah. To start doing the throw out.
Kind of hoping you were going to toss in a couple more.
All right. So there's actually a lot we could talk about or not when it comes to cartoons. So we've decided to pick out some common themes. Not necessarily themes that you'll find in absolutely every one.
But pretty much every one, yeah.
Or maybe the ones that we watched. Hmm. Yeah.
Ones that we remember.
Yeah.
So they all do kind of blend together after
I must confess, although I do suffer from a bit of nostalgia, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later in the episode, I've yet to buy a pack of, you know, like a season or a series of children's cartoons. Mm. I'd be tempted to get maybe G.I. Joe or Transformers.
And I bet you will regret that purchase if you do it.
Yeah.
I just sent a whole bunch of Transformers back to the States. There was a special campaign here where if you bought...
No, not the toys.
Oh, okay.
The DVD. But I took my mom through Denden Town.
Oh, cool.
Which in Osaka's... people in Tokyo will kind of know it as the poor cousin to Electric Town in Tokyo.
Right.
So it's the place in Osaka where all the...
Geek stuff is.
And electric stuff.
Well, I suppose that's kind of geek stuff, too.
It has your maid cafes, your cheap computers, your toys.
Arts. Comic books.
Yeah.
A small selection of board games.
My wife always said that she liked geeks and thought they were really adorable until we went to Denden Town. And then she's like, wow, I've seen the real geeks now.
Yeah, if you go to Denden.
Isn't your wife from?
Japan, yes.
No, but also she's from this area.
She's from more out of Akashi way, but she's not a geek. There's not any reason that
she fell in love with the romanticized geek. Not the real backpack wearing, taped glasses, you know, nose sniffing. Shifty eye looking.
So sorry, what's the romanticized geek?
I don't know.
Me.
Yeah, all right, there you go. I was trying not to say it, but there you go.
Is that like, I guess it could be. I just started trying to think, you know, the opposite of the Victoria's Secret model / scientist in the movie, but you also can get like the really good looking actor who, like let's say Hugh Jackman in Swordfish, and he's the hacker.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, how do you keep in shape by spending all that time in front of the computer? Wow.
So you have the Hugh Jackman hacker.
Yeah.
As opposed to the, Wayne Knight hacker in Jurassic Park. And that's the difference, kind of.
The Newman.
Yeah, the Newman, I was thinking. But anyway, sorry, go ahead about Denden Town when you took your mom there.
Yeah, so I was going to look for something to get for my brother. And then, you know, just give it to her and she can carry it back to Canada. So I was in one of the stores and... Yeah, they were selling the same vehicles, the G.I. Joe vehicles that I remembered as a kid.
Yeah.
But they had the action figures were kind of upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
But the vehicles were actually the same, except now they had like a G.I. Joe and a Cobra version of like the Jeep. From what I remember, it was you'd only get the G.I. Joe one.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have a Cobra Jeep as well. And then, what was it called? The Viper?
The Hiss Tank?
The Hiss Tank,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, the open cockpit tank. There's a great design.
Are you forgetting the glass shield? And the
when all they did was shoot lasers, all you need is something to deflect the beam of light. You know?
It's easy to jump out of so no one gets hurt.
Yeah. Cobra!
But there's now a G.I. Joe version.
How many skin have on it?
Well, yeah. But I was saying like that I bought the Transformers toys for a friend back in the States, and I was amazed that they're reselling all of the old toys now as well, along with the updated ones.
Yeah.
So, well, you got a new generation of kids who, you know, didn't know about it before.
Yeah, but I don't see, like, a kid would know the Optimus Prime from the movie, but he probably has never seen the cartoon. Why would he have an interest in the old one? I think it's for adults and nostalgia.
Yeah.
I think it covers both markets, actually. Yeah. You get the new kids coming in, where this is kind of the only one they know, and then you get the people like us who are like, oh, you know, it's the updated one.
Well, this is not one of the themes that we're planning on discussing, but I think it's hard to sell a toy without a story behind it.
Actually, Transformers is a good case for that, isn't it?
G.I. Joe is a good case for that.
Was G.I. Joe actually concepted as like a toy first that then kind of failed?
No, they had the big G.I. Joes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But then when they were like relaunching them after the Micronauts and the Star Wars toys took off, mm-hmm. and that size, was that 3¾ inches? Or
I don't remember.
Yeah. For those that can't see, I'm holding my fingers.
That looks about like 4 inches.
Yeah, that looks like about a G.I. Joe, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a G.I. Joe, yeah.
But yeah, so then I think it was like one of the guys at Marvel Comics, Larry Hama, mm-hmm. he was thinking about doing like a military line mm-hmm. based off of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of got into a relationship with Hasbro.
Took off from there.
Yeah, it took off from there. So they had the cartoons and then the comic books. I guess the comics were so... No, that was the Star Wars line, sorry. The Star Wars line of comics was so successful that it kept Marvel afloat for a few years.
Did the G.I. Joe cartoon or the comics come first?
I don't know.
I wonder.
Good question. Maybe someone could look into that.
And tell us on the forums.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's where I was going. Not like, oh, maybe we should have done research.
I couldn't anticipate that question. We were just talking about the cartoons.
Yeah. Actually, I think Gem kind of started the same way. Like Mattel had the toys, and they just said, make a cartoon or make a story about this. So I think that kind of backs up the fact that...
The He-Man toys came first because the Masters of the Universe movie was based off of the toys as opposed to the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't use that story. They used kind of the story of the toys.
Hmm. So who's your favorite? G.I. Joe or Transformer or He-Man or whatever?
It's like asking me to choose between my children. Fortunately, I don't have any.
So it's really the choice.
So I really didn't like anything.
As a toy, I think He-Man toys were better crafted.
Yeah.
As a story, G.I. Joe.
Who's your favorite Joe?
As a toy?
Okay.
As a character?
Sure, as a character.
Did they really have personalities?
The personality was in the name.
Probably Cobra Commander for personality. Or,
just because he had one?
Or Zartan, maybe.
Zartan is cool.
But as a toy, I like that Alley Viper, but I don't ever recall him on the cartoons. Just because he had a shield.
The one.
Wait, weren't you making fun of the guy from the Dungeons & Dragons?
Because that's all he had.
A shield.
All he had was a shield.
Yeah, only shield. Lame. Shield and machine gun in the other hand.
Okay.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
I always liked Starscream. Same voice as Cobra Commander.
Yeah. But you asked me
what?
Which character I like. Yeah, Starscream is my favorite Transformer.
Mm.
Oh, here's the thing about Transformers. For Christmas or a birthday, my parents got me a Transformer, and it was Skywarp, the black jet.
Okay.
And then the next, whatever came followed, either my birthday or Christmas,
mm-hmm.
my uncle got me a Transformer, and it was Thunderclap.
The white jet?
The blue jet.
Oh.
So I didn't even get the best jet. So the only Transformers I got were the jets. And for those people that don't know, those are identical jets, other than the fact that they're different colors. If somebody had got me Starscream, I would have had 3 identical jets.
I had a robot jet, actually from the Robotech series. So it was a jet that transformed into like a standing robot.
Oh, the Gurwalker thing.
Yeah,
the leg things. Yeah.
And like for the life of me, because I'd never heard of Robotech when I was a little kid, so I always thought that it was a Transformer. And I could never find out which one it was, and it drove me crazy
as a Veritech.
Yeah, Veritech Fighter, I think it was, in fact.
My friend had the Voltron toys.
Ah, those were awesome.
The ones that...
My brother had that.
If you made those things now, they could kill someone because the metal parts were actually metal.
Yeah.
I had a plastic one.
He had the metal ones. You pick those things those up. Those things were heavy.
God, that was so awesome.
I had one of those metal robots. Like, it may have been like Great Manzinger Z. It was winter, and I dropped it, and it punched right through the snow, and I lost it.
Oh, I forgot. I
couldn't find it.
I was about to say, that's some thick snow, but I forgot you're from Canada, so it was thick snow.
Yeah, it was. I was just like, whoa, where is it? And I couldn't find it. Spring came, and it was gone. But it's good that you mentioned Starscream, Chris. Because that brings us to our... And yes, I know that's what you were trying to do.
It's called a natural progression.
Like, the look you gave me is like, why is he talking about that? I'm trying to help.
Because it brings us to our first element. And what we're going to do is we'll come to talk about what the element is and some examples. And then we'll see how we would incorporate those in a game or story that we're telling. Mm-hmm. So the first one is henchmen. So Starscream is the classic... cartoon henchman.
Craven and the cowardly.
Yeah.
I think that's a prerequisite for the classic cartoon henchman.
Yeah.
But also they tend to want to usurp the power or take over.
Yes.
So if you look at Cobra Commander, he's got like Baroness and Destro, and they would sometimes plot against them.
Yeah. And Starscream, every time that Megatron was out of the picture, yeah. Every time, yeah, that Megatron was gone or something or incapacitated, he would immediately try and be the boss.
In the movie, he like kicked them out of the
That's ship. Right. Ship. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other examples where they're purposely trying to take over. But I was thinking just things like Inspector Gadget pretty much only worked through henchmen, but nobody really schemed to take over his position, you know?
Other elements. I mean, one of them is that they're cowardly. Another is that they would scheme and plot against the leader.
And ineffectual.
Ineffectual.
Yeah.
Because the bad guys can't win.
The bad guys are too.
Yeah. It's just more so. I mean, like, if the main bad guy's ineffectual, then like the henchmen have to be absolute, complete, bumbling idiots.
Yeah, I think like you said, Inspector Gadget, like the henchmen. There's less. It's not so much henchmen there. Those are more just mooks. Because like in Teenage Turtles, you also had the what was it, Bebop and Rocksteady.
I always saw them as like a higher level of henchmen.
Yeah, they weren't the foot soldiers, but
right.
I don't know what my point was.
I don't know either. Yeah, I was like playing a higher level of henchmen.
The various rankings of henchmen in 80 cartoons.
I guess it's a good...
And there were, but...
But I think then you're right. If you have like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with the faceless foot mooks, mm-hmm. I think that's what you're equating the Inspector Gadget guys to.
Yeah.
Those are the unnamed characters.
But because they're trying to sell toys, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the Stormtroopers, which is a movie first, and then it became the toys. Mm-hmm. It's how many Stormtroopers of the regular Stormtroopers were you actually going to buy?
Right.
And then you get Grand Moff Tarkin, and you're like, well, how is he going to fight in my little battles in the in the playground?
Yeah.
You know, you get this old elderly man. Oh, great, another elderly man. You know, all the guys with speaking parts.
Yeah. The Emperor kicked ass.
Yeah, and he came, but he wasn't there in the first movie.
Right. Yeah.
So kind of they got the idea of making sure that you have distinctive henchmen as well.
Right.
I remember when I first got G.I. Joe, and it was in the Sears catalog, and I think my parents got me all of them or all but one of the G.I. Joe toys. So I had Grunt and Flash and Snake Eyes and all these different named good guys and Cobra Commander.
Kind of a one-time battle, wasn't it?
Well, or you make Cobra Commander that's like Uberman who can like fight and his gun was like super awesome or something like that. But you're only going to buy like one bad guy. Mm-hmm. Then you could buy like the infantry, but it's hard to like justify spending it again on another $3 or $5.
Especially when it's your mom
on the same thing. Yeah, it's like, don't you already have one of those? And I was like, yeah. And she's not going to do that like 3 or 4 or 5 times. Uh-huh. Like, don't you already have 5 of those?
Yeah, mom, but I need another division.
So the way to get, pry money from the wallets and kind of give you that little division is to make the henchmen as distinctive as the heroes. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you don't often see in movies.
Oh, maybe that's not because movies aren't trying to sell toys usually.
Yeah.
And the ones that
but
are.
But in movies that are, they'll learn from that lesson.
Right. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe that's why you have the bounty hunters in Empire Strikes Back. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Just throwing it out there, Internet.
And seeing how George Lucas acts now with his franchise, he probably did. If he thought the same back then, he's like, okay, let's cram some more guys in there.
But... Yeah. Yeah, that's why he has, like, the different colored clone troopers.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I need the clone trooper that's blue.
And that's probably the biggest thing to pull away, I'll argue, mm-hmm. is the distinct henchman. Of course, you can have bumbling henchmen, but in a game, how if you always know you're going to beat these guys, unless it's a comedy of errors kind of game, or even the scheming henchman, that could be good if you have like a political game.
Absolutely. That's something, though, that, you know, the in a 80s, sorry, 80s, in a children's cartoon, though.
sorry, the original idea was 80s cartoon, yeah. And then we realized that what we were talking about didn't always fit in 80s
cartoon.
That one's
from the 70s, awesome.
From the 90s.
What was I saying?
Children's cartoons, the bad guy has to be bumbling?
No, it's with the scheming henchmen. It's that I don't think that the heroes in a children's cartoon would necessarily take advantage of that. Like, promise him to give the power to get rid of the bad guy. Promise the scheming henchman that, like, we'll give you his position after we get rid of Megatron or whatever. However, I could very easily see characters in a role-playing game doing that, pitting the villains against one another.
We will give you genocidal maniac, top genocidal maniac position once you do.
Exactly. But, I mean, like, Starscream would say, okay! And he'd be right in on that. That's my start.
Yeah, but then would he really believe that they're going to give him?
Do you remember how stupid they made that character?
And I think that's one thing not to take away from the cartoons, is making them supremely dumb.
Yes.
Because even, excuse me, Bebop and Rocksteady, they were
pretty dumb.
They were about as smart as a rock, you know, which is Rocksteady. Yeah.
But also they were very strong, like physically.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the trade-off there. Starscream wasn't particularly so. Neither.
Destro was smart. Destro. Baroness was smart.
Yeah.
Zartan was smart.
Yeah.
But he was cowardly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Destro was less... Well, no, he was definitely scheming, but it was more prideful for him.
Is that the kind of the thing to take away then? Like, those kind of villains, they always have some fatal flaw that prevents them from winning?
Well, I suppose, but pretty much everybody in the bad guys do.
Because in that one you have
fatal
to show...
fatal flaw.
Or is maybe not fatal, not they're going to die, but something that always prevents them from achieving whatever it is.
We killed Cobra Commander.
No. See, but the fatal flaw would be like, ooh, Cobra Commander. And hey, did anyone notice that giant open space in the back of his head? You know, back of his helmet?
Yeah, he put it
there. Why don't we just hang there?
And then he couldn't breathe through that mask.
Yeah. That would be the fatal flaw. Can't breathe. But, no, I'm just... Yeah, some flaw that prevents them from achieving whatever goal it is.
Do you guys ever watch Visionaries?
No. You mentioned that before, but I've never seen it.
The Knights of the Magical Light.
See, and I resisted and you didn't.
Yeah. With magical power.
All right. You don't have to keep going.
Floodgates are open.
But one of the bad guys, his name was actually Kraven. Subtle.
Well, really? What was he like?
But I'm guessing he was the bravest of the bunch.
Well, his special power is fear, but I guess.
Who better to wield fear than someone who can experience it?
Was he the clam?
No,
the clam.
What do you mean, mollusk? No, he was the Phytus or Phyto, a made-up pterodactyl-like creature. All the other spectral knights and darkling lords—they had their own, animals, but actually real animals.
I think I actually had a visionary, but like I lost him, and the only thing that remained in the toy box was his shield.
I remember
because it was like the lion.
Actually, I had Kraven. And I had, one of the good guys. Can't remember.
But I think, calling him Kraven, right? I mean, like, the names for those characters weren't...
Was it Crave Axe?
I don't know. It's something. They weren't very inventive, right?
Well, I mean, come on. Like, Decepticons.
So, yeah, like, the names of characters weren't very original. Like I said, Lion-O's sidekick was freaking Snarf, because that's all he said.
Snarf.
Yeah, and again... Just like Lyle gave in to the temptation to sing the Visionary song, you gave in to sing the, or not sing, but to say the Snarf sound.
Snarf.
All right. You don't have to do it every time I say it.
You knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, I did. It's kind of one of those things.
Which does, as you intend, bring us into the next topic, is sidekicks.
Bumbling sidekicks.
Okay.
Or not.
Or not. Yeah, no.
A lot of times, one common element with sidekicks is the fact that they are children.
Yeah, children.
Don't you find that? Like,
children or...
Space Ghost sidekicks or... Like,
Jan and Jace, yeah.
Isn't it three?
The Jan and Jace and they had a monkey. I forget the monkey's name.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always like the... I think sidekicks is a little bit of a wider one because there seems to be different types of sidekicks. There is like the bumbling sidekick, like you said, the comic relief one, right. Snarf. Then, like you said, Lyle, the ones who are children, of course, to relate to children.
Yeah, I think that was good. A good thing to bring up. I can see those, like, two broad categories. Like you said, the
often
kids.
Put, the sidekick as a really moral figure. And probably the best example I can think of was
Bumblebee
out of Transformers. Sorry, go on.
Go on.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, like, Bumblebee was kind of like the most moral of the Transformers. Like, Optimus Prime, of course, was a really good guy, but he was really about fighting in battle and against the Decepticons.
And what was Bumblebee about?
Bumblebee was
love and peace and integrating the Decepticons into the wider world of robotics.
Not quite like that, but yeah, it was.
Why can't we all just get along?
Something along those lines, yes.
Make love, not war. I wish I could make love.
Hey, they got exhaust pipes.
But we can make war!
Oh, man. Now,
I was thinking, just to finish the point I was trying to make earlier, is the opposite of the children would be the ones that they can't relate to, mm-hmm. and you stick all the old guys as a sidekick. So, like, He-Man's Man of War, mm-hmm. where they bring, a skill set or some advice. Mm-hmm. And Man of War is kind of like that nice, fatherly-looking guy, Splinter.
Oh, yeah.
So the old man, mm-hmm. back in that.
Would you consider Splinter a sidekick?
No.
No?
Well, because sidekick is kind of a subservient role in my mind. And Splinter...
So you're saying mentor.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe Manowar would be more like a mentor, and Splinter would be a mentor.
You think he would be a mentor, Manowar?
Well, just kind of fits the role. Well, I mean, he's kind of like a mix of sidekick and mentor.
He's more of an older sidkick, I think.
I think one of the most unfortunately named He-Man sidekicks is Fisto.
I don't remember that, but I wish I did.
Maybe you could mentor some. There are lots of experiments we could do.
Oh, God. I was just thinking sidekicks, like using the Thundercat example, or like the Conan the Adventurer one with what? What was the Phoenix name?
Pomegranates.
Squawks or something.
Yeah.
Again, another name that sounded like the voice that he said, mm-hmm. the sound that he said. But they were really like the comedic relief, but I don't know, they're also kind of like, I almost see them as taking the place of kids. But
like,
I mean,
like Cringer and Battle Cat.
Yeah,
they would do kind of like stupid stuff.
Yeah, the comedy relief.
I mean, sometimes it ended up being good, but mm-hmm. or helping people out, but I don't know if you would really want to have that in a game.
No, though, it would get really annoying really fast, and actually it did.
I mean, I guess a way to do it without it being really annoying is to kind of do like R2-D2, because he was essentially like...
A capable sidekick?
Yeah, he wasn't exactly bumbling, but he was kind of like the comedic relief sometimes. He would do things that weren't always smart, but he was also useful.
I've considered things like that, kind of having a toolbox NPC. Just to fill in some kind of skills that the party might need.
Hmm.
But, actually that's a good way of...
But having a comedic or sidekick as an NPC, the danger is that you can overshadow the actual players.
Mm-hmm. Assuming that you're really good at comedy. And if you're not, then there's the danger of just being annoying.
Yeah. That's not the comedy NPC. That's the annoying NPC.
That's the one we slit his throat in his sleep.
No, either that or like, let's hope that's not your adventure. Oh, no, they kidnapped Bobby. You're like, fuck it. Who cares?
Where'd Buddy go?
Actually, we made a deal with the
That'd be really funny. You know what? I could see that. Like, the wizard wakes up. Hey, what happened to Cringer, my familiar? It's like, he got lost. The other player is like, little do we know, he made a deal. You know, trade him away.
The druid's bear companion. Erp.
That would actually be pretty funny to do something like that.
What about playing sidekicks? Now, we did something similar in the pulp game where you had the man.
That's what I was thinking.
And effectively, everybody else was a sidekick.
Right.
Well, I should say... The idea was everybody was supposed to be a sidekick, but effectively everybody wasn't a sidekick.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, the man was probably the biggest sidekick.
Right. I was thinking that actually worked out pretty well from the GM standpoint, and because... And
that was kind of based off of a Doc Savage template.
Right. Yeah. And that one, I think everyone in that had different enough skills where everybody had a specific area where they would shine. Mm-hmm. And... they didn't really overlap, meaning certain tasks were going to be handled by certain people. And I think if you do like a sidekick type character, or if you have that in the game, that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the main character, he's probably going to be the best, but he's going to have to be deficient in certain areas. And that's where the sidekicks are going to have to take over, just to make sure that everybody at the table kind of plays a balanced character.
Well, surprising, like, if you take somebody as accomplished... as Sherlock Holmes, that he has a lot of deficiencies.
Yeah.
Like his knowledge of botany is reduced to kind of just like poisons and that. But he wouldn't be able to distinguish common plants.
Yeah.
I would say his interpersonal skills are pretty deficient, and that's where Watson takes over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that's another good way to do it. Maybe the person is like, what's the guy's name from Law and Order: Criminal Intent?
Detective Gorin, like Vincent D'Onofrio's character.
I forget exactly. You're the law and order.
Sorry,
guy.
The detective. What are you asking for?
I'm asking for like
not the lawyer.
Not the lawyer.
So the detective.
Yeah.
The man.
Right.
Early seasons.
Yeah.
Okay, detective.